Jack, do you have the show notes?
That was your responsibility, not mine.
Fool of a Took! And now, for our feature presentation, Tom Hanks Defence Force, with your hosts, Alex Halpern and Jack Fryer. A podcast for people who love film, television, and Tom Hanks. Welcome back to Tom Hanks Defence Force, or as we should call it today, Gondor Defence Force.
Yeah, Op Minas Tirith.
Yeah, a situation where the name Defence Force is actually fitting.
Yeah.
So, Jack, today we're going to be discussing the new Lord of the Rings series that Amazon has planned.
Yeah.
We heard about this early last year, I believe.
Yeah, it turned out on the 13th of November 2017... it was announced that Jeff Bezos' Amazon, Jeff Bezos, of course, being Santa Claus and every Bond villain,
yeah,
had acquired...
Isn't he beautiful?
Yeah, love that man's bald head. He's like a human Kinder Egg, isn't he? I love Jeff Bezos. There's a little toy inside. It's a script for Lord of the Rings. That's a weird image to start the show on. But anyway, glad you're still with us. So it announced Amazon had acquired the global television rights to the Lord of the Rings, committing to a multi-season television series, which is 5 seasons long. Many thought Amazon would...
5 seasons?
Yeah, five
wow,
seasons. So that's... yeah, spring, summer, autumn, winter, spring too.
And second breakfast.
Yeah, but the second podcast as well, because it's our second Lord of the Rings podcast. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Maybe if you open up Jeff Bezos' head, you find like some beans, some tomatoes, and some nice crispy bacon.
Because after we recorded the first Lord of the Rings podcast, we were like, that's good, but what about second podcast?
Like, second podcast.
Yeah, many thought Amazon would remake the film as a TV series, but the series will not be a direct adaptation of the books, but many rumours are that could be a possibility down the line. But instead introduce new stories that are set before the Fellowship of the Ring. Such as
so, do we know that these are adaptations of the Silmarillion and the Book of Lost Tales? Which are
the
preludes to the stories of the Third Age.
It's up in the air. Like, they're meant to be taken information directly from the appendices of Return of the King, maybe. That's all the rumours. It could be like fill in the blanks, maybe. But it's all up in the air. The series, we know it's going to be set before Fellowship of the Ring, though.
So, do we know if that's the First Age or the Second Age? I know it's all speculation at the moment.
But we do know the series will be released in, ideally, I think it's meant to be 2021, with production slated to begin this year or next year. The deal with the Tolkien estate, though, requires the series to be in production by next year, though. But they could start this year, because they've already started, like, hiring them.
2021, though, I mean, that's... yeah, they can literally travel from the Shire to Mount Doom using self-driving cars.
Because Amazon did say, though, the deal included a potential for spin-off series as well, such as How Gandalf Got His Hat. There's, like, an argument with Sauron and some builders about Orthanc
as
well.
What took the eagle so long? Yeah. I mean, it's... but then, like, there are still so many characters that people are hoping won't turn up. Like a Tom Bombadil.
Yeah.
Ask anyone about Tom Bombadil and why he wasn't in the Fellowship of the Ring. They'll be so thankful.
Do you know Games Workshop even released a Tom Bombadil figure for their game one?
They did, yeah. There was a set of Tom Bombadil and about 7 or 8 whites.
Yeah.
You know, the sort of the spirits, these banshee-like entities that he supposedly fights on one of his adventures.
Yeah.
But I can't say it was that popular.
Because there's... Amazon did say there's potential for a spin-off series as well. And the press release actually referred to previously unexplored stories based on J.R. Tolkien's original writings. Amazon, though, will be the producer...
based on numerous Jeff Bezos scandals.
Amazon will be the producer in conjunction with the Tolkien Estate and the Tolkien Trust, HarperCollins, and the New Line Television did the films. Interestingly, though, according to a report last year, it'll be the most expensive TV series ever produced... with the production
after
The Crown and Game of Thrones.
But wasn't Boardwalk Empire, Martin Scorsese
at one point,
series? And that was a few years ago.
Yeah, because interestingly though, it's meant to have a rumour production budget of over $1 billion, and it's a 5-season commitment as well. So $200 million a series.
Yeah, no wonder HarperCollins are jumping on that opportunity.
Yeah.
They must get some fat royalties
because
from that.
The inception of the series is actually fascinating because Amazon was originally in a bidding war with Netflix for the rights to the novels. Amazon won the battle, but at a cost of $250 million.
Wow, that's...
interestingly, though, Jeff Bezos himself, who is not only the Dark Lord, but is also a fan of the novels, he was even directly involved in the negotiations himself as well.
He went to every single meeting.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Remember it's all current, of Tolkien's descendants.
Because, interestingly, the current most expensive series is for Crown, for Netflix, with a budget of $157 million. I think that's just for Claire Foy.
But you do find that lots of high-profile fantasy series are actually much cheaper to make. Surprisingly cheaper to make.
Maybe.
Than a lot of... You know, a lot more contemporary set.
Yeah, because everyone just brings their own swords. So everyone just brings their own sword at home.
Like, well, yeah, but I mean, what was the combined budget of the Lord of the Rings trilogy? Peter Jackson.
Well, they filmed them all back to back, though. So.
Well, sure, but it's and obviously they'll be using prosthetics, which I mean, I can imagine.
I think
to
it was like over 150 million
CGI.
Or so. Yeah.
But yeah, but that's. I mean, that's nothing compared to over $1 billion which Amazon are spending on their new series. And the amount, like, the budget that's gone towards Game of Thrones over, like, you know, I mean, when did Game of Thrones first start? Was it 2012?
2011, I'd say. 2011, 2012. Because I remember the first series came out when we were wrapping up college.
Oh, you're
right. And I remember
you
and Arthur and Alistair came round to my house to watch the first episode because in HMV, which is when HMV was still in Chatham.
We did, and I was like,
they were selling
nobody die!
Because they were selling the first episode as like a single DVD, like one episode on the disc for £2 as like a preview to get people enticed. And I remember I bought
that's,
it and watched
that's
it.
That's an interesting approach.
Yeah.
When it could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's now, you know, it's now fully committed and bound to HBO. So there's a, you won't see that in CX at any point soon.
It's interesting, though, because Amazon is wanting this to be its contender to fill the void left by Game of Thrones, which does actually finish this year. Because it's also part of Amazon's general strategy, because they want to get 30 films out a year, alongside its TV series, and also they're stepping up its film empire as well, because they spent $47 million at Sundance this year, $25 million more than Netflix.
And these are for distribution on
the
Prime?
Films, yeah, I think it's like cinema release. I think the best strategy, I think, is cinema release of an exclusive on Prime. So.
Sure, so they're focusing on distribution, whereas Netflix are throwing all their budget on the original content.
And $8 million on that Alexandria Cortez documentary as well, which I'm looking forward to so much, to be honest.
Which is, that's going to be really interesting. I hope it's filmed in the exact same way as Fire Festival, their documentary. I mean, just because it was so sleek.
Yeah.
Not in the same way that I'm hoping the Alexandria Cortez turns into a disaster story.
God, no. There's also a scene where Cortez actually gets on a wag and punches Sharku as well as he's like riding into Washington.
Sharku. I always forget his name, Sharku. Like, all the orcs have these fantastic names, which just hints at backstories.
There's actually a scene
that just aren't explored. Maybe the Amazon series would explore this more.
Yeah.
It's like in the Shadow of Mordor, the Lord of the Rings game, where you do just wander around Mordor. And you see, I think we discussed this in one of our other episodes, where, you know, you go to parts
They've
of
got
Mordor
character,
and... Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, the orcs do have their own characters.
Yeah.
They have their own unique voices, their own senses of humour, their own, like, unique mannerisms. They're not this sort of mindless horde
drones,
of Uruk-hai. Yeah. But also, when you walk around Mordor, you see in the south... You know, once you move past Gorgoroth and Cirith Ungol and Mount Doom, you see all these miles upon miles of green pasture, which just isn't explored in Peter Jackson trilogy at all.
Yeah, there's
a
Greggs
as
well.
Not part of this. That's actually, you know, the guy who was in the Daily Mail who actually burned his penis by trying to have sex with a sausage roll. He actually did that in Gorgoroth near Mount Doom. That was why it was so hot.
There's also a scene in the Cortez documentary where she walks out of the meeting and they go, "Where's this Republican?" "Oh, he took a tumble off the fiscal cliff."
Like, hey. "He took a tumble off the cliff."
Yeah.
I'd love to be the voice of an orc.
Oh man, that's an end game goal. So what would you rather voice, quickly? A Moria orc or a goblin, basically? An orc or an Uruk-hai? Who would you rather cameo as?
Moria goblins don't really have any
character.
Voices.
They just
they just sort of squeal for the 20 minutes of the film that they're in. I'd say...
Yeah. I think an orc.
Yeah, I mean, a Cirith Ungol orc.
Yeah.
Because they're the first orcs that... Actually, no, that's a lie. The first orcs you see that have character... are in the Two Towers.
No, I'd say Fellowship of the Ring when they're hiding behind Saruman when Lurtz just kills one of them.
And
it's like, what does the Eye command?
Yeah.
Rip them all down, yeah.
There's this brilliant YouTuber who, I think one of his first videos was impressions of the orcs.
Oh, mate.
And I'm sure I've shown you before.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
He absolutely nails
We've got
them.
A Lord of the Rings binges on YouTube many a time.
Yeah, it's unstoppable. But it's, you know, in the second one when... After the Fellowship has been torn apart by Saruman's Uruk-hai raiding party, and you know, when they've just passed Lothlorien, and Merry and Pippin have been abducted, and the Uruk-hai meet the orcs on the way back to Isengard.
Oh, yeah.
And all the orcs are like, "We've been waiting," and the Uruk-hai aren't having any of it, and it's the whole like, "Yeah, why can't we have Shemit?" scene. And that's a fantastic little introduction to the actual genuine tension that exists between orcs and Uruk-hai.
Yeah, that's great.
Do you reckon we'll see that in the, Amazon series?
We'll definitely get orcs from the series. But I'm willing to safely put a bet on orcs being in them at some point. There's got to be. It's not Lord of the Rings about orcs.
But because it's set in either the first or second age, where we'll be seeing more fantastical creatures.
Yeah,
we'll be seeing the beasts of Morgoth.
Yeah, there's one of the main rumours, which we'll come into later, is about a young Aragorn. And obviously, I think it's mentioned in the books that he encounters ogres and like trolls on his journeys and all that. So
what if you Professor Quirrell running through the Shire shouting "Troll!"
Because Amazon have actually started writing the series. They've hired J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay to write and develop the series.
What else have they worked on?
Well, the two are relative newcomers, funnily enough, for a project of this size. They're both famous for Star Trek projects, including writing the original script of Star Trek Beyond and being part of a writer's room for King Kong vs. Godzilla.
Ooh.
But the duo will manage a writer's room for a project, and that Amazon head, Jennifer Salke, who's like head of like the TV film division, for what I believe. She's definitely head of that area.
Division.
Yeah, sure. She said during a panel that they will now work on a continued development for the show. She indicated that they went through a numerous amount of pitches before selecting Payne and McKay. So obviously they had something that stood out above the rest, because obviously they went through so many writers for this.
Oh, for sure. You know, there's a really good article this morning about the making of Watchmen. And that went through so many writers and directors.
Even Terry Gilliam.
That project had been about 15, 20 years.
Before even film Grovenel was even written, it was in production. No.
And Joel Silver's like, "I've got an idea."
I think Joel Silver actually was meant to produce it at one point, I think.
So. He was, yeah. He seems like the kind of producer that would do a good Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
But we got the Weinsteins instead, which always give us sends a shiver down the spine when the credits start rolling in.
Because obviously, let's think we should get them talking about what the show's going to be about. Because the main problem, because rumour though, is it's going to be a young Aragorn series featuring interactions with Legolas, Gandalf, Elrond, Arwen, Jeff Bezos, and many other characters.
But presumably Aragorn's not interacting with these characters from the Third Age. He won't be interacting with Legolas and Elrond.
Well, that's a rumour, though, because obviously he knew Legolas before, and even in the Third Hobbit film, because the big rumour is, just to help with some consistency and to make it more marketable.
I know a man.
And to make
we call him Strider.
And to make it more marketable, it's going to be in the same universe as the Peter Jackson films, just so they can have that familiarity with the audiences. Obviously, in the end of the Third Hobbit, you know, the Elven King, played by Lee Pace, I think it's Frandor, I can't remember. Says to Legolas, "Go meet Strider."
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but I mean, he knows of Strider.
Yeah.
But surely the first time he meets him is at Rivendell.
Apparently they met before, though, which one of the rumours is it's like a meeting between a young Legolas and a young Aragorn.
Because
he met Gandalf as well.
Yeah, but surely a young Legolas was like 800 years ago.
Because in the books, though, Aragorn mentioned as he had travelled to areas like Harad. The TV show could expand upon these areas, allowing the writers to be creative with the vague unexplored areas that were only touched upon in the books.
That's going to be fascinating.
So we could see, because obviously there's like blanks, and obviously they can have creative license to like just do what they want. They don't have to follow the book. They can say, right, Aragorn, he's gone to Harad, let's see him fight a Mumbakill or whatever.
But that's the thing, because there are so many civilizations in Middle-earth that weren't explored in Peter Jackson's trilogy.
No, of course, And all the different factions and men.
Yeah, and arguably rightfully so, because they're not part of
the
quest
essential.
Of the Third Age. Yeah, exactly. They're not part of the story of the Fellowship. But, you know, you have these civilizations like the Easterlings and the Harad, which we only see like fleeting
moments of. The Corsairs, the Wild Men.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you see them for one or two scenes, maybe with the exception of the Haradrim
in
the Battle
two
of the Pelennor Fields. Yeah, but you know, the one thing that a lot of people don't know is that the Easterlings are actually in the Return of the King.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know when...
See them in the courtyard, don't you?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So in the courtyard, when the gates of Minas Tirith are first breached, and three...
trolls.
Yeah, they're not mount... They're just Mordor trolls,
aren't
they?
Mountain trolls, I think they're called, yeah.
No, mountain trolls are the larger ones. Oh. The ones that we see opening the black gates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the two towers. But the ones that burst through are Mordor trolls.
Okay.
But anyway,
so many trolls.
Yeah, so when all the when it comes to all the orcs flooding in behind them,
there's like a few Easterlings.
You actually
yeah.
see a few Easterlings.
They're very
prominent.
Yeah, they're very prominent in the Return of the King game as well.
Sure. Well, yeah, in the battle for Minas Tirith.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like, I mean, yeah.
Which is such a sporadic game. Like, it's, you're literally, yeah. it's you have these waves of orcs coming in, but they all come in at about two or three at a time.
Yeah,
it's
obviously it's Xbox though. It's originally they didn't have like the graphics and systems they are now. We can literally have hundreds
for
yeah.
sure, and that would literally be impossible. That would, I mean, beginner mode would be expert mode,
yeah,
virtually. But it's literally like, you know, Gothmog is there at the front, you know, at the yeah. front of the line, just handing the orcs all these makeshift weapons before they run in.
Yeah.
And it's like they're queuing in by single file before running into Minas Tirith.
Yeah. It's like, tickets, please. Tickets, please.
Anything from the trolley, dears?
Seven heads.
Meat.
Yeah.
So we.
I think Young Aragorn though would be very good because it's a. I think from a business point of view, it's sensible because it's a character the audiences know, and it's one of the most popular characters in the show as well. So I think that's a good one to kick it off with because obviously each series could be for a different era though. Because obviously, interestingly though, Amazon has actually started tweeting clues very recently, including a map of Middle Earth. But this map includes the realm of. Hoping to pronounce it right, Celandaron, which is what Rohan was called back in the day under Gondorian rule,
but
hinting of the time period.
Wasn't the first map they posted, it didn't have any names
no, then they
whatsoever
started filling
on
it in
it.
More now.
So yeah. that's like the birth of Arza, you yeah. know, the world in which Middle-earth is a part of.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, and then they started adding more names to it as
yeah,
they
cool.
were tweeting more. But they what's also brilliant is that they've started posting them with... actual with the opening lines from the Fellowship of the Ring, so the actual odes to all the kings and queens of Middle Earth who you know who were given the rings
yeah.
of Sauron, which is which I really hope that they're going to go through the entire like the entire trilogy like sentence by sentence
yeah.
and then as soon as the final line from Return of the King is tweeted
we
get a trailer.
We really see like one tweet, it's just Bilbo going, ah!
Best meme of all time.
I love that so much. because, no, I'm looking, I think that'd be a good period though, the Second Age, because it's a period of time we don't know much about. Like, unless you've read the books, it's not many people know about. So to see that like fleshed out and explored, I think would be really interesting to see.
It'll be fascinating. It'll be interesting to see. I feel like a lot of... I mean, there's been a lot more interest in the realm of Middle-earth and
yeah.
the actual mythology of Tolkien's universe since Jackson's films were released.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
It got expanded on a bit in The Hobbit as well, but at
yeah,
the same
it's
time,
not
yeah.
just high fantasy and Lord of the Rings fans of the book who are interested in
yeah.
it. It's, you know, people who wouldn't bat an eyelid towards it
yeah.
previously are now much more interested in... You know, in like where the elves come
yeah.
from, where Frodo sails off to at the end of the Return
yeah,
of the King.
Yeah, I think this is.
There are so many dimensions that people have suddenly become much
yeah,
more
happened,
engaged
yeah,
with.
Like, what happened to the surviving orcs and all that? You know.
Yeah, I mean, isn't the rumor that they all disappeared into the mountains?
Yeah,
and they all fled to like the Misty Mountains
or something
or
like that,
other
yeah.
parts of Mordor and just became raiders.
Or something like that. Yeah,
that's why the orcs are the most interesting element of the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
but maybe that's because we just love villains.
Yeah, and I think also Game of Thrones has sparked some interest in this as well, I think. I think obviously with a show like Game of Thrones, who's got a massive mythology as well.
It's,
I think
shows like that
also,
have done,
I think that is like kind of revisited Lord of the Rings as well.
Yeah, shows like that have done a lot of good work for high fantasy
yeah.
series. You know, it's shown TV executives, the you know the guys with the money, that there is a solid audience for this. The,
of course,
you
yeah.
know, they can, I mean, I guess, well, I guess to be fair, Game of Thrones was a very successful book franchise.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Before
yeah.
HBO adapted them.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, it's still a prime example of the fact that high fantasy is now the standard for entertainment these days. You know, it's like our parents grew up with Alfred Hitchcock and Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
You know, these crime dramas and mysteries. And that particular form of suspense was the highbrow entertainment of the time.
Before, and
I guess you had things like, you know, 2001 The Space Odyssey and Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, of course.
And you have, you know, these other, you know, more kind of, I guess, mystical sci-fi.
Yeah, like the original Westworld in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, and all these little, you know, all the, like, these other, the, you know, this emerging genre. You know, back when sci-fi was very camp and...
Of course.
You know, it was very, you know, self-deprecating in a lot of ways. But now, but shows like Game of Thrones and films like The Lord of the Rings have become our own... You know, that's our standard for iconic entertainment. That's the standard and the luxury that we want these days.
Yeah. I think people like escapism, and I think high fantasy is a big one, because I got in an argument with someone recently... Because they said there's a scene in, like, I think Game of Thrones where, like, Arya jumps into a river and she's wounded, and they were saying it was unrealistic she didn't get sepsis and died. But I was, like, saying, yeah, but we don't know if, like, sepsis is a thing in that realm.
But also...
And it's suspension of disbelief. And they said there's no such thing as suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, but like, also, it's a world where there are dragons.
Exactly. And they said dragons is an excuse.
They're
fighting
a war with the undead. Like, it's... I mean, it's, like, suspend your disbelief.
It is.
Like,
it's a film. It's a TV show, yeah.
It's fascinating. It's
so
I love these little petty arguments.
Yeah, it's a good like late night argument to have with someone. It's like, I think we should go to bed. No, we're carrying on this argument. You know?
Yeah, that's 3 a.m. talk.
Yeah,
that's
should Arya have got sepsis? Find out next week.
Find out next time with Steve Martin.
Do you mean George R.R. Martin or just Steve Martin?
No, just Steve Martin.
Get Steve Martin. Has, yeah, Larry King.
Show now. Yeah.
So yeah, interestingly, back to Lord of the Rings though. interestingly, as you may be aware, Rohan was actually founded 100 years before the birth of Aragorn though, so the show could feature a second age.
The soldiers of Rohan are the only species of Middle-earth to lay eggs.
Because obviously there's a popular theory though, the show will end with like the battle at Mount Doom, which is where the film begins. So that's like, it kind of goes full circle.
Oh, that would be good.
Because as I said before, there's a show, the theory is that the show will be in the same universe as the Peter Jackson films. And Peter Jackson is actually involved in a minor capacity. Like in an interview,
so it'd be the beginning of the Third Age.
Yeah, like, is that when the Third Age starts? You know, the Battle of Mount Doom?
I'm not an expert, so I'm sure our listeners might penalise me for this, but I think the Third Age technically begins when I think when Sauron gifts the rings to the men, elves and dwarves.
Okay.
I think, oh no, isn't it after the fall of Morgoth? Because like the rule of Morgoth was like the Second Age, I think.
Okay.
And obviously the, you know, the kind of the First Age, you know, I'm sure. I think begins when, you know, when the Eljar come to Ardor, and you know, elves are made, and all the and everything's nice, and you have this sort of this Paradise Lost style like kind of allegory.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Because Peter Jackson did actually say in an interview, I think they're going to send us some scripts to see if we can help them along. I wish them all the best, and if we can help them, we certainly will. It's a big task. He'll certainly try. Sorry, but he did say it's a big task.
We'll do our best.
Also,
no promises, guys.
Jackson's writing partner, Philippa Boynes, also thinks that Payne and McKay will be the key to Amazon's success. She said, fresh eyes on that story is such a good thing to do. I'm excited to see what they come up with.
Has Fran Walsh waited on there as well?
Peter Jackson's wife and co-screenwriter. I don't know, if I'm honest. But Amazon's already working on it, though, and the security for it is actually proper... scarily intense. Like they've got, it's in a locked wind for scripts, in a locked in a windless room with a security guard on 24/7, and you need a fingerprint to get in.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's calling Agent Cody Banks.
Yeah, they're called in. They're down in Santa, because Amazon stated they're down in Santa Monica. You have to go through such clearance, and then you have all the windows taped closed. There's a security guard that sits outside. You have to have a fingerprint to get in there because the whole board is open the whole season.
I thought you were about to say the plan was to start shooting in Santa Monica.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking, why, what part of Middle-earth has, like, Venice Beach in it? It's...
the Shire, yeah. It's the new Shire.
Yeah, all these...
It's Shire for the Instagram generation.
It's all the hobbits go on their summer holidays.
So,
they just smoke lots of weed and work out lots.
They smoke
weed anyway.
Yeah.
Have you seen that scene in the Two Towers when It's a deleted scene, and it's after... No, I think it's the Return of the King, actually.
Is that when, like, they come visit Isengard, and it's just flooded?
Yeah, Isengard's flooded, and then Merry and Pippin are wading through the water, and they find one of...
No, it's Two Towers, I know what you mean, yeah. It's in the...
Yeah, and they find, like, one of Saruman's, like, storage facilities, quote-unquote. And it's...
His side hustle.
It's, but they open up one of the barrels inside, and they find... like tons of the halfling's leaf. And so it's just this massive reveal that Saruman, while criticizing Gandalf for getting high, also smokes a lot of quote unquote weed.
I watched some of the Hobbit films recently again, and there's a bit where Saruman's just like ripping into Radagast about like being with the animals and smoking. He said like his mind's too much filled with mushrooms. I'm like, Sam, you're such a hypocrite.
God, yeah.
He's like one of those Tory MPs who like publicly is against drugs and is busted with cocaine. He's just Saruman. Man.
Goes to these President's Club's parties.
But there's like a dodgy photo of him being taken and coming out of like Rohan with like sunglasses on.
But just like wine stains all down his white robes. Like,
just like, worm tongue, clean it for me. And it's like Lurt scrubbing it. Oh, but yeah, so interesting.
Hand of Bezos.
So if you were given charge of the Amazon series... what would you like to do it on?
If I was in charge, I'd... it'd be filmed in space.
Okay.
And no, I think I'd... how would I film The Lord of the Rings? I think
in black and white, deep focus like Citizen Kane.
Or like really, all the orcs in a really obvious costume. It's not even prosthetics. It's like masks. Like there's all like the remaining orc costumes that we bought from Toys R Us before it went into administration. Yeah. It's we buy all of those and use them as props. I think I'd be tempted to follow the idea of having each series would be a very integral moment in each age.
Yeah.
So, you know, season one would be the first half of the first age. Season two would be the second half of the first age. And then the second age. And I guess that would only technically take me up to, you know, like four seasons. But I think with that, there's also the risk that it would, you know, would you have the opening of the first age or, you know, the creation of Arda? You'll have
what's
this very...
What's
Arda? Arda's the world the Middle-earth is a part of, yeah. And you'll have, you know, it would just turn into this very cosmic, almost too artistic, like this very... You know, something that's probably... Bless you.
Sorry, thank you.
Something that's probably quite similar to the opening of 2001, The Space Odyssey.
Okay.
And all the gorillas around the giant, you know, call it whatever metaphor you want.
Okay.
Like black.
The monolith, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they were like,
Like a giant, they're around a giant ring.
There's just loads of orcs around this, around Sauron. Like, ah. No, it'd be, you know, I think there'd be a danger that it would, that would become too alienating, given that when you're opening the first season of the highly anticipated Lord of the Rings series, you want it to be, you know, you wanted to have the same style and like a charm and sense of an adventure that we experienced when we first watched the opening of the Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we opened with the dawn of the first age, sweet, we wouldn't have that, and it would be a bit too isolating. So I think I'd maybe follow more of a Game of Thrones approach and have as much, a bit more of a, like, give it the charm of a character drama, a character high fantasy drama, where, you know, it's driven by these, like, the little plots of what Gandalf gets up to or the wizards before him. And, you know, so I guess it would include elements that were similar to The Hobbit in terms of conversations with wizards and elves.
Yeah.
But there would also be, you know, you would also have the story of Morgoth. I think actually I'd be tempted to open it with the story of Morgoth.
And obviously Sauron was Morgoth's lieutenant, wasn't he?
He was, I think he was his apprentice.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Although I've heard a couple of stories. I think I need to read The Silmarillion. But,
I thought you already read The Silmarillion.
I haven't read The Silmarillion. No,
oh, wow.
My cousin has, and I think my brother's read part of it. But, because initially I heard that Sauron was Morgoth's servant, and then I heard apprentice.
Because obviously Galadriel does refer to the necromancer in the Hobbit films as servant of Morgoth.
Yeah it's. I mean, he was Daddy Sauron.
Yeah.
Turns out Sauron was his chef.
Yeah.
He was
the only one who survived.
He was.
He's basically Joe designated survivor where the whole Senate gets destroyed apart from Kiva Sutherland, so he becomes president.
Yeah.
That's Sauron.
I think
that'd be interesting though. I'd love to see stuff
about his own political party.
I'd love to see stuff like. The Silmarillion on screen. I would like to see stuff like Morgoth and how Sauron became the Major Domo. But I'd love to see also. There's two things I want to see. I'd love to see a young Aragorn. I want to see what he got up to before Fellowship of the Rings. I think he's a wilderness ranger. He clearly got up to a lot of adventures before he got to Riven. Before he met the hobbits at Bree. And I'd love to see some of those adventures because he's clearly been through the wars. And I'd like to see those wars.
He's been there, man.
But I'd also like to see. Because obviously the whole war, though, which happened, it wasn't just in Gondor. So I want to see a bit of a third war. I want to see, like, the elves of Mirkwood being assaulted by orcs or whatever. And I want to see, like, say, like, the survivors of Saruman's army meeting up with Sauron's forces and, like, fighting Rohan.
I guess it's
starting. I want to see it from the soldiers' point of view. I want to see all these, like, heroes. I want to see normal foot soldiers. I want to see them. Like their experiences of the war, like maybe
and you have glimpses of that in the Lords of the Rings at certain parts.
Maybe like a Gondor regiment.
Before we really understand who Faramir is, you know, we see little fleeting moments of Gondorian soldiers.
I'd love to see those. Yeah
fighting Haradrim and orcs.
I want to see a Ranger series. Yeah,
that'd be interesting. I'd love to learn more about how Sauron was converted by. Sorry, about how Saruman was converted by Sauron.
Yeah.
So how he used the Palantir to warp his mind.
Yeah, because we get a tiny bit of The Hobbit. He's like, "Leave Sauron to me." It's like, and obviously we know what's gonna happen. Yeah, I'd like to also.
Just not much used to hear Christopher Lee's amazing voice.
It would be probably the same though, having a different actor based Saruman. Because James McAvoy said he wants to play a younger Gandalf, so... But everyone's saying it should be Michael Fassbender. Obviously, that's because they're both Magneto. But,
yeah, exactly.
I'd like to see the fall of Balin's tomb, though. I want to see, like, the Balrog just wrecking the dwarfs and seeing, like, what happened in Moria before they get to the tomb.
Well, we see a bit of that in The Hobbit, don't we?
Yeah. They can't get out. We're coming. So I want to see them write that.
But then we see, because obviously you see the orcs, you know, before they become Moria orcs, take over Moria. But we don't see, like, how the dwarves discovered the Balrog.
Yeah.
That would be, can you imagine?
They were mining, so they took it over, I think, and they mined so deep they woke it.
Because they were consumed by greed.
Yeah.
And it explores that in The Hobbit a bit because of...
Smaug, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, was it Balin who...
I think it's Thorin, he fell to the curse, didn't he? Yeah.
He was obsessed with wealth.
Yeah.
He was... There's a beautiful little scene where he's just almost twirling in this room full of gold coins.
Yeah.
And it's... that's me if I won the lottery.
Yeah.
That's...
I'd love to see a bit about the elves. I want to see, like, Elrond, just have young Elrond, maybe. Oh, Elrond and Aragorn go on a quest.
It's a buddy cop drama.
Yeah. Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon 5.
Yeah, just riding by a horseback across the lands. Are there any, like, further key points that we're expecting from Amazon's new series?
Well, it's going to come out late next year, but 2021's realistic. Obviously, it's going to be massive. I think it'll be all released at once as well, so we can binge it, I think.
Oh, really?
I think, because it's Amazon, they probably will do it all at once, so we have spent a whole weekend watching Lord of the Rings.
I don't know. I think it'd be a very interesting opportunity for ads if they release it bit by bit. And I feel like, you know, you'd have a lot of competition for ads. I mean, Amazon doesn't run ads at the moment, does it?
But no.
If it did open it up to that extra monetization, it would be very competitive for advertisers to fight for those spaces.
It's going to be interesting to see. You know, I think it's going to be a very bold move for Amazon. They bidded $250 million for this series, you know.
I think it's
and
a great
Jeff
move.
Bezos himself got involved in negotiations. Because I know he said earlier he's a fan, but to get the CEO... To get him personally involved, I think that's a bold thing to do.
I mean, even if people don't like it, even if people don't want to see it, who are so angry that this is going to exist, they'll see it out of pure fascination.
Because I think most people have seen The Lord of the Rings, haven't they? You know, I think we will see a lot more Lord of the Rings content as well, I think.
It's the Da Vinci of our time.
You know, yeah, because we've got 5 series and the potential for spin-off, and this is going to go for potentially forever until we get like a series about like what Bilbo did in between the Lord Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, just him smoking. Like, yeah.
And going, ah!
We still Bilbo's 90th birthday. And there's like a whole PR thing, all right? It's like, that's the idea, Bilbo's PR team. But like, right, at 7, Bilbo's going to tell the story. 8, we got fireworks. Cake at 8:30. You know, speech by Gandalf at 9, come on.
This really neurotic manager. That's Woody Allen's next film.
Or we see like an orc political party. So there's like the MNP, Mordor National Party. It's like, no, Uruk-hai, keep Mordor for the orcs, you know? Yeah.
All this like geopolitical politics just erupts across Middle Earth.
Yeah, EDL, Easterling Defence League.
It's exactly. Mordor for the orcs, Arad for the Arandrim.
What was the tower called that Sauron's eye is on? Is that Dol Guldur?
Barad-dûr.
Barad-dûr. Because apparently, I think I read
Dol Guldur was where Radagast goes, followed by Gandalf the Triangle. Well, that's where they believe Sauron is hiding.
That battle scene's incredible, where Elrond and Saruman just destroy the race. That's incredible.
Now, are you okay, my lady?
Do you cry for some assistance? He's like, you should have stayed dead. I'm like, yes, Hugo, what do you think? Oh. But do you know the Sauron's Eye Tower, basically? Apparently, the mouth of Sauron sent 200 men into the tower just to see what was in there, and they never came out.
Oh, really?
So I'd love to see, like, a horror series about, like, some Easterlings who get lost in the tower. Because apparently there's half-orcs in there, which is weird, but yeah.
Oh, really? That'd be really interesting. I mean, there are so many horror dimensions to the Lords of the Rings.
Oh, an Army of the Dead horror as well.
I mean, Shelob's Lair is a horror story.
Shelob's Lair, Army of the Dead, Bilbo going, ah, you know.
I mean, that's a romance.
Yeah.
That's erotic fiction right there.
I'd love to see like a Wild Men series about how they became Wild Men, or even a piracy series like the Corsairs. Just have maybe just like a one-off episode. Maybe just have like a series where it's like one episode, and each episode of a series, like ones you couldn't do a whole series about. So one episode about the Corsairs, one about Eastlings maybe. Just that could be interesting. We can see it's going forever.
We could.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really interesting to see... If it's true that Sauron betrays Morgoth, how that pans out.
Yeah,
and how Sauron's forces took over Minas Morgul.
Yeah. It's heavily rumoured, though. We are going to see Sauron in the series in some capacity. I wouldn't really put money Sauron's in it. Of course, he's the Dark Lord.
Yeah, and I think a really good suspenseful... I guess political drama about how the 9 men were converted into Ringwraiths.
Yeah.
How that took place.
Yeah, I mean,
so seeing their deterioration over time. Because isn't that explored a little bit in Shadow of Mordor?
Yeah, I think it is. There's also apparently fake Nazgul in that, because there's apparently more than 9, but yeah.
Sure.
But also, I think...
But they're wraiths, aren't they?
There's also a rumour that we can see adaptations of those games onto the as a series, but I don't know if that will work.
They were good stories.
Yeah, from what I've heard, they're good. So yeah, we could see. But there's so much potential with this. Basically, there's so many ways I can go. I'd love to see Young Aragorn. I think that'd be a safe bet from the commercial and fan point of view as well. But
do you think
the Second Age as well, I think, would be good as well to see what happened before the big battle.
But do you think people would just become bored of it if they produced Lord of the Rings after Lord of the Rings?
Well, it's a 5-season deal, and as part of Tolkien's estate, it's got to be 5 series. They've got to start production by 2020.
So, but I mean, like, concept-wise, if they were making every single little Lord of the Rings story in the history of Middle-earth into its own film or TV series, or even short films on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of markets for, you know, for just, like, short films, you know, one-off episodes. But if they were producing so many of them, then would people just become flat-out bored of the Lord of the Rings? They'd lose all interest.
I think
do you think that would be the case?
I think there's clearly still a massive demand for Lord of the Rings content, with the game still being played, and obviously people are still reading the books. Man, even in the 60s, there was Frodo Lives graffiti in New York subway. So, which is on one of the Lord of the Rings extras, and apparently it made Tolkien upset that it became such a big thing. It's like it's ingrained in pop culture. Like, even bands like Orange Goblin have songs called Saruman's Wish, and obviously Blind Guardian have songs about Lord of the Rings, and obviously Black Metal, as we know, takes a lot of names. So Lord of the Rings is so heavily ingrained in pop culture.
I guess the book was a part of the canon before any of the adaptations.
Yeah.
Even before Ralph Bakshi's version.
I think we should get a Ralph Bakshi remake in like 3D CGI. And where there is a will, there is a way. You just become... That's the Amazon loading screen music. It's like an orc marching, like, where is a will?
Just around the corner of the screen.
Jeff Bezos and some orcs up. And then, yeah, I'd love to see that. But I think... I don't think audiences will get bored Lord of the Rings, really. As long as it's not, like, an overload. As long as it's not two series a year. I think one series a year, I think, which is compelling enough and well-marketed, I think will be fine. Because Game of Thrones is a big void to fill, and Amazon are clearly thinking, well, what's the next series art from Game of Thrones? Lord of the Rings, there you go.
There we are. If you have any further thoughts on Amazon's new Lord of the Rings series, then please tweet us at Tom Hanks Defense. And that's Defense with a C for all you American listeners.
Shout out to Mike and Oscar, by the way, for a shout out as well.
Yeah, we love you. Thank you for the shout out.
Thank you for asking your question. So, yeah, Tom Hanks will be in these series. He'll be one of the ringwraiths, maybe. He's too nice, actually. He'll be a hobbit in the Shire who makes food for everyone.
What's his wraith scream like? Hanks!
Yeah.
Wilson!
Yeah. But no, Tom Hanks, though. He'll be the chef who makes second breakfast for everyone.
And he'll either make you a nice crispy bacon.
And he'll make you a third if you're nice. No, Tom Hanks runs the pub, one of the pubs in Bree. Like, he was the original owner of the Prancing Pony.
You can also follow us on Twitter and on Instagram. I am Lexi Halpern, LexyHalpern. You're on Instagram as well.
I think I'm Jack Fryer 22 or 23. I follow him. Oh yeah. I can't remember my own Instagram.
It's social media. It's easy to find us.
Yeah.
And so yeah, if you have any thoughts on the Lord of the Rings, please tweet us or message us through any other formats, and
pigeon post, send a raven, send an eagle, send a little moth like Gandalf. Yeah.
And in the meantime, before our next episode, enjoy yourselves.
Yeah,
thank you for listening. Bye bye. Thank you for listening to Tom Hanks Defense Force. Find us and join the conversation on Twitter and Facebook.